Turn your hymnal to number 690 in your pew Bible this morning to the book of Matthew, chapter 26. Today is the last disciple of our series on the 12 disciples of Jesus Christ, or 12 ordinary men. We conclude with Judas Iscariot today. I won't say an easy sermon today. It'll be a little bit of a challenge to us. We learn a lot from this man's life of what not to do and who not to be and ways that we should not act as well in our Christian walk with our Lord. We also see that Jesus loves him greatly, but yet Judas makes some terrible choices. And so we're going to go through that today. I'm going to read a couple different selection of verses that kind of encompass his life a little bit, what he's known for. What's interesting is that you will not find in Scripture his calling. When Jesus actually called them to come follow me, that's not in Scripture. But he's one of the 12 disciples of Jesus Christ. And we all know what his job was. As he rats out Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's led to crucifixion through that. So let's begin at chapter 26 in the book of Mark, beginning at verse 14. through 16. Then one of the 12, the one called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and asked, "What are you willing to give me if I hand him over to you?" So they counted out for him 30 silver coins. For then on Judas watched for an opportunity to hand him over. And then if you'd slide down with me to verse 25, then Judas, the one who would betray him, said, "Surely not I, Rabbi." And so he's speaking to Jesus there, and they're gathered in the upper room, and Jesus is preparing for the Last Supper. And he says to them, "One of you will betray me." And that's where verse 25 comes from, as Judas is going to betray him, and he asked Jesus that question. And then go over to Matthew 27, and we're going to read verses 3 through 5. So let me fill in the gaps a little bit here for you. So Judas has this conversation with Jesus. They're in the upper room. He tells them that Jesus speaks to him and says, "Yeah, you're going to be the one that will forsake me." And then he releases Judas to go. And he goes to the Sanhedrin in the temple court. And he asks them, what's it worth to you? And meanwhile, while Judas is doing this, a lot of us don't always understand this, but there's only 11 disciples left in that upper room at this time, and Jesus begins to have the Last Supper with those 11 disciples. Judas is not there. He's left to go do what he needs to do. And so then he comes back, and you know that he rats him out, and it leads to the crucifixion, and Jesus dies on the cross, and Judas knows what he's done, and this is what Judas's response is in Matthew 27, verse 3 through 5. When Judas had betrayed him, saw that Jesus was condemned, he was seized with remorse and returned the 30 silver coins to the chief priests and the elders. "I have sinned," he said, "for I have betrayed innocent blood." "What is that to us?" they replied. "That's your responsibility." So Judas threw the money into the temple and left. Then he went away and hanged himself. Harsh reality of what happened to him. Now turn with me to the book of 2 Corinthians 13 verse 5. And this is where a challenge would come from this morning. You can find that roughly on page 1808. "Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you, unless, of course, you fail the test?" Hang on to those words this morning. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we've heard from your word this morning. May these words be your words, and as I preach your message today, may those words flow from my mouth onto those that need to hear these things. Lord, we pray for all those that have gathered here to hear your message today. May you bless them with your presence of the Holy Spirit. Lord, may you open their hearts, their minds, and their souls to your ways and your teachings. In Jesus, I pray these things. Amen. Good question this morning. Examine yourself to see if you're in the faith. It's a good question for all of us to think about as we live life. Think about the life of Judas Iscariot. He walked with Jesus for a couple of years. And all that time, his heart became hardened and hateful towards Jesus Christ. How can this happen? Unbelievable, we would think. This morning, as we learn about his life and we explore what happened to this man as a follower of Jesus Christ. And so let me talk about who he is as a person a little bit, so you have a little bit of understanding of maybe where he come from and what his name means and so on. You can see on the screen, Judas, which we learned about last week, means Jehovah leads. Jehovah leads. Iscariot means a man from Kerioth. Now, you need to understand that Kerioth is a place. And it's a town in southern Judea. And it's actually called Kerioth Hezron, a very small, humble town that Judas Iscariot grew up and lived in. One thing you need to learn about this, that he is considered to be an outsider. Where did the rest of the disciples and apostles come from as they learned about this? From what area were they raised or brought forth as Jesus called them into his ministry? Anybody remember what area or town that was? Galilee, exactly. The other 11 all come from that area except for Judas Iscariot. He comes from Kerioth Hezron, outside of the area. Significant that we know this. He is an outsider from the beginning. We see it in Scripture. We see how it plays out and so on in his life. Now, you must also realize Judas is also the apostle. He was the treasurer of the group. He carried the purse of money. And he liked to dip his hands in there once in a while and take a few coins out for himself and his needs. But he took care of the purse for the disciples. As they traveled throughout those 18-some months as Jesus did his ministry, they stayed in different towns and different places. Judas was responsible for covering the bills. He bought the food. He took care of the shelter when they stayed somewhere. He's also the one, you might know this, if you were to look in your Bible, the John chapter 12, verse 4 through 6, as they gathered with Mary and Martha and Lazarus, you know, good friends of Jesus, and the disciples were there that night, and Mary got this expensive bottle of perfume worth 1 year's worth of wages. Does anybody in here have that kind of perfume on their shelf? Yeah. But she poured it out on Jesus' feet. It was Judas Iscariot said, "That is crazy. Why are you wasting that perfume? Sell it and give it to the poor." Remember that conversation? That was Judas Iscariot. And Jesus responds, "You don't understand what she's doing. There is a far bigger picture here at stake than a little bit of perfume that was wasted," is what Judas thought, you know. And so you need to understand Judas's heart. We begin to see a picture of what he's like. And we'll unfold more as we go through this message this morning. Judas is also the one that sold Jesus out for 30 silver coins. Shekels, sometimes it's referred to in Scripture, in which we know that that led to the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Judas had given his life to following Jesus, and here's the key this morning, but he never gave him his heart. Why would that be? That's the question we're going to kind of go through today, and what's going on in his life. What are his pursuits? He gave his life to follow Jesus physically, but he never gave his heart. And so the New Testament tells us two things this morning about Judas, two things that we learn about his life, and they help us understand him a little more. The life of Judas reminds us that it is possible to be near Christ and associate with him closely, and yet become hardened in sin. Near Christ, and yet become hardened in sin. Second thing we learned this morning, no matter how sinful a person is or might become, the plans of God are never thwarted. They never change. God's plan will still go on, no matter what the circumstances are that you might do or that Judas might do. God's plan will prevail. Praise God for that. Through Christ Jesus. Judas was never attracted to Jesus on a spiritual level, only physical. Let me unpack that just a little bit for you this morning. He followed Jesus out of a desire for selfish gain in his own life. He had worldly ambitions that he seen who Jesus was, and he liked these things. And he thought, if I follow Jesus long enough, I will be like him. I will have this power. I will have this control. I will do the things that I want to do in my life. And then put a little greed in that as well. He was never interested in Jesus for the kingdom's sake, but only what was in it for him. Wealth, power, prestige filled his motives in life. And when he figured out that he wasn't privy to these types of power and what he could do, he turned on Jesus. But yet Jesus gave him every opportunity to turn from his sin. He never spoke harsh of Judas. Even in that last conversation in that upper room that day, when he was getting ready to distribute the bread and the wine, and he said, one of you will betray me. And Judas asks, is it I? And Jesus responds, it is you. Now go do what you have to do. That's what he says to him. Knowing full well where this is going to end and what Jesus would have to do on the cross. Jesus was always gracious and showed love to him at all times in Scripture. What does that say to us this morning about how we should treat our enemies and those who might come against us? But here's another fault of Judas. He never applied the lessons and teachings of Jesus to his life. All those months that he followed Jesus, all the miracles Jesus done, the healings, turning the water into wine, all those types of things, Judas never applied those things to his life. So here's the question I want to ask you today. It's a very relevant question that I think still speaks to us yet today. And here's the question for you, the challenge for you today as you walk this Christian life in faith. How many people have had the opportunity to turn from their sin and choose not to? They stay in it. Whatever that might be, I don't know what that is. And I'm not talking only about you that are in the church, but those that are outside of the church. But definitely, we're not off the hook. How many of us know the lessons, know the teachings of Jesus, but never apply them to our lives? Judas was an outsider. As he walked with Jesus, he never moved deeper in his faith. He never moved deeper in the circle of the other 11 disciples. If you go look at a list of the disciples, Judas Iscariot is always last. Every time. You can about imagine what the others might have thought of him. How he lived his life, how he treated others. In this group. How many of you are still outsiders in the church? How many of you are still outsiders when it comes to living in Christ's ways? How many of you are still outsiders when it comes to growing deeper in the church and deeper into the church family? How many of us have gone to church most of our lives, but never grow deeper in our faith? That's a challenge today. That can be hard to hear sometimes. Here's the point. It's possible to go to church, to be aware of Jesus' teachings, and not have salvation. That's possible. That's not good to hear, is it? That doesn't make us feel very good. We might begin to question ourselves. Hold on to that question, because I'll come back around to that with some grace and love and hope for you at the end of this message. But you need to realize that just because you sit in church does not mean that you have salvation and that you'll be with God in heaven for eternity. People need to hear that. In Scripture it says, there are tares among the wheat. Not everybody sitting next to you will go to heaven because of their heart. And you learn why just a little bit here this morning with the way Judas lived his life. You know, I don't know who they are, neither do you. That's between God and them, and God sees their heart. You and I do not see the others' hearts and who's going to make it and who's not. But thank goodness we don't see those things, and that we're not the judge. But that challenge is for all of us this morning. We need to move deeper and deeper in our faith is what we're taught through Jesus Christ. We need to move deeper and deeper into the life of the church. We need to move deeper and deeper to knowing each other on a more personal level and living life together. That's what Christ's teachings are. And that comes out in many different ways in the church as we live life together. Sometimes things don't always go so well. With groups and stuff, maybe we have different factions that maybe don't quite see eye to eye. I know there's some tension between different ages of people within our church right now. And Jesus says, there's no room for this. There's no place for this in the church. Because we take our eyes off of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, if we're going to follow him, we need to do the things he commands us to do. What's the first commandment?
Love.
Love your neighbor as yourself. Love the Lord, the God, with all your heart, soul, and mind. Those are the two greatest commandments that he gives us. So how are we doing? I know we all fall short. It's not easy. You know, his disciples, when they started following Jesus, they didn't understand anything that was going to go on. They were so new to the faith and who this Jesus was. It was unreal, the things that they would learn in the 18 months to 2 years that they'd follow Jesus. But there's one thing that they consistently did. They trusted and they obeyed Jesus' teachings. And by the end of those 3 years, after his death, resurrection, ascension into heaven, when the Spirit of God came upon them, they were ready to die for Jesus. What does that say about us? Let me change gears to you just a little bit here this morning and start filling in some of the gaps that we've talked about here today. Why did Jesus call Judas? And you think, well, that's pretty easy. You know, somebody had to rat out Jesus so he would die for our sins. But you know what? There's something a little deeper than that. Did Jesus know Judas was going to betray him? Knowing that God is all-knowing, most definitely he did. Jesus understood that Judas would do this. Jesus never did anything by accident. Jesus knew full well what would happen all the while. And Judas did not trick Jesus. And we see that in John 13, excuse verse 26 this morning. And all this took place to fulfill prophecy, to fulfill Scripture. And we can look at the Old Testament, and I can rattle off verse after verse after verse, but let me give you a few of them. Psalm 41, verse 9 says that the Messiah will be betrayed in the book of Psalms. Zechariah 11 says that it will be for 30 pieces of silver. John 13 says that to prove that he's Jesus Christ, if it happens the way Scripture says, he is the Messiah. All those things funnel around the death of Jesus. Here's another good question that I'm often asked this morning. Did Judas go to heaven or to hell? The Bible answers that question for us today. Let me read that to you. Jesus himself speaks these words in John 17, verse 12. None of them is lost except the son of perdition. That son of perdition is Judas. He was cast into hell. He was the original part of the 12 apostles. Quite a prestigious group, but it didn't save him. You see, there's some things that we learn here today that we need to realize about our own faith. You see, being part of the church won't save you. Being a deacon, being a pastor, being an elder, being a Sunday school teacher, being related to the minister, whatever it might be, being an American will not save you. The only thing that can save you is giving your heart and your life to Jesus Christ. That's it. You and I will stand alone before God someday, and if you're not saved, you don't have to worry about standing before God because you won't even make it that far. If you're saved, you will stand before God in the presence of His All Majesty, and you will be welcome into the kingdom of heaven. That's what your goal is. But if you don't have salvation, you will stand before God, and you will be judged upon your sins, and you will be cast into hell, just like Judas. That will be a terrible day for a lot of people who live in this world and do not know the Savior. Those are hard things to hear, but that's the truth. That's the reality we live in, and everybody else wants to water it down. You go to different places and you hear people talk today, oh yeah, we're all going to heaven. Yeah, he was a great person. But if he didn't give his life to God through Jesus Christ to give his heart to him, you can be as good as you want and you'll never get there. That's what the Bible says. And I want every one of you to be there. Let me ask you this morning, another question. How closely are we like Judas in our life? Good question, right? Did you know that in Scripture, Judas called Jesus his master on several occasions? Master. You want me to do what? Master. They said this, Master, we need to go there. How many of you call him Master? Or are we like Judas? Now don't judge me and get harsh on me here this morning because I'm not condemning you. But listen to this, because we all fall into these categories. And there's a way out that I want you to understand today. That is so, so important in the Christian walk in the faith today. Do you take off your spiritual clothes after church on Sunday morning and put them away until the next service? Think about that question for a moment this morning. What I'm trying to tell you this morning is that are you different in church than in real life? Your Tuesday noon should look like Sunday morning the way you live your life. And your Friday? And your Thursday night? And your Saturday night should look like Sunday morning. Let me ask you a few more questions today. Does money affect your spiritual life? Judas was guilty of taking from the purse. He was a thief. Have we ever robbed from God? And you think, well, how would I do that? Are you giving your tithes and offerings like Scripture tells you to? Are you cheating God somewhere along the line? Are you trying to get into heaven as a group? I hear people talk about that. You know, my grandma, she's a great believer. Well, your grandma's not going to get you into heaven. Only you are by your faith. A group won't get you there. You know, Judas, he hung around the right crowd. He listened to the perfect pastor. He heard the best sermons. And he didn't get it. Just because we walk with God, talk with God, and we're maybe even, like Judas was handpicked by God to do things in his life, doesn't mean that we'll make it. Have you ever been a traitor? Have you ever betrayed somebody's trust? Broken a promise? Maybe you might have betrayed God's trust. I think we could probably all fall in that category. Judas chose something over God. How about you? Have you ever chose something over God in your life? Yeah, we probably all have done that. Right? Yeah. You know, good things keep us out of church. Good things keep us from visiting people. Good things go on in our lives that keep us from witnessing to others that need to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Are you tantalized with the pursuit of things in this world? Do they draw you in? Are there things on the forefront of your mind right now that are worrying you, that stand in the way of worshiping God at the full moment here this morning? How can you honestly pray without ceasing if you're just asking for stuff in your life? Do you ever get even with somebody that's done you wrong in your life? Because Judas immediately did that. The Bible says the path is narrow. But we like to live broad, don't we, sometimes in our lives? See, here's the whole point this morning that I want you to understand. There's one thing that Judas never did in his life that sent him to hell. And here's the whole key this morning, the whole point. We are a lot like Judas. You and I are sinners in need of God's forgiveness. And we need to ask for that forgiveness from Jesus Christ. Judas never asked for forgiveness. He was sorry for what he did. He felt bad for what he did. But he never asked for forgiveness. All those things I mentioned to you just a little bit ago, we've done all those things. And this is what we need to learn today from Judas. Don't make that mistake. You can be forgiven through Jesus Christ, but you need to ask. God, forgive me for what I've done wrong. We prayed that this morning through our prayer as we get ready to come to the table next week. Of who Jesus is and what he's done for you and I. That's the love. That's the grace of Jesus Christ. You need to ask every time you come to God. There are sins that you might commit that you don't even realize that you've done. And you say, well, how do I get forgiven for those things? You know, you asked, God, forgive my sins of omission that I don't understand and I don't even know that I commit. Ask those things. Ask for forgiveness from God the Father in heaven. And he says, I promise to forgive you because I love you. That's what he says. And so, 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, which we read this morning, here's the big question. Examine yourself to see if you're in the faith. If you're praying to God for forgiveness and you know you need a Savior, you pass the test. That's good news. That's the hope that you and I have. That's why I stand up and I preach to you today. You are loved by God. And if you say, Jesus, you're my Lord and Savior, and can you forgive me for my sins? You pass the test. good news. Amen? Amen? Amen. That's why I stand here every week. Are you living according to the Word of God? To the best of your ability? Because none of us are perfect. We are sinners. And we need God's forgiveness and the grace that's offered us through Jesus Christ. Don't give up. There is hope of eternal life. Nothing's too bad to be forgiven. Eternal life is waiting for every one of us who calls upon Jesus Christ. Let me talk to you just a little bit this morning. Don't put your hand up for this. Have you ever sinned? Yeah, we've all can put our hand up for that, right? And if you didn't think you sinned, then you've already sinned because you thought that. So you're already behind, right? But sin brings guilt, right? When you sin and you do something bad, when you get in an argument, you maybe tell somebody off or you say something harsh to somebody, you feel bad about that. That's guilt, right? That's the Holy Spirit saying, you shouldn't have done that. You went too far. You should ask for forgiveness from God and from that person. Guilt will kill you. And I have proof in Scripture to back that up here this morning. The guilt will crush you and I of sin. And you need to get away from that guilt. You need to get out from under that guilt in your life. Now, a lot of people that don't get out from under that guilt in their life turn to other things to try to subdue it. See, Jesus Christ is the answer. And you don't turn to Jesus to get rid of that guilt, it'll turn into alcoholism, it'll turn into drug abuse, it'll turn into pornography, it'll come out in all other kinds of ways. Just look at the world we live in today. That's how it comes out. Judas sold Jesus out. He couldn't take it anymore. He knew what he had done. He tried to bring the coins back to the Sanhedrin and chuck them on the floor and said, "You have it back. I don't want anything to do with this." And they said, "That's your problem." He couldn't take the guilt. You and I can't take the guilt of our sin if we let it pile on, pile on, pile on. You need to get rid of it. And that's through forgiveness. Through Jesus Christ. You need to get rid of that. Judas, what I found quite interesting, I learned some things this past week that were very interesting about his death. When things went wrong for Judas, they went terribly wrong. You ever had a bad day and you're just like, this is the worst day ever? Judas had this kind of a day and it cost him his life. Not only that, but his eternity. He went out to hang himself on the tree. And studying this, you'll notice, and let me just read a scripture to you, out of Acts 1, verse 18, this is what happened to the guy. With the payment he received for his wickedness, Judas bought a field. There he fell headlong. That's pretty important for you to know. I'll tell you in a minute here. His body burst open and all his intestines spilled out. It's the last verse in the Bible that talks about Judas. He went out to this tree outside of Jerusalem, whatever. He tried to hang himself, and either the rope broke or the branch broke off the tree. And this tree was mounted on a hillside with a cliff with jagged rocks below. And while he's trying to hang himself, either the branch or the rope broke, and he fell to his death, and his body was splattered all over the rocks. That was his death. Now, I don't know if he died before he hit the rocks or not, but either way, he's dead. And Jesus went on to speak to him about that after he's gone. He said, "The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him, but woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man." It would have been better if he'd not been born. This speaks to the brutality of hell. And hell is for eternity. And I don't want any of you to be there. May you seek forgiveness. forgiveness in Jesus Christ in your life. And may you live in his loving grace with each other. Because all of God's people said,